CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. Yes, we are live. It is Wednesday. It's the 3rd of June. Oh, man. How's everybody doing? We're all good?
Life is a festering pile of ass, but we make the best of it, don't we?
Yeah, well, I'm very glad you said that, because if any of you had gone, yeah, like, I'm having the best day ever, I would have wanted to come through the internets and just broken something. I'm just, like, not in that mood at the moment, and it might have a lot to do with what's going on in the world. It might have quite a lot to do with this lockdown fatigue that I'm suffering from. And I had a fucking horrible day yesterday. I just had a horrible, horrible day.
Oh, that sucks, dude. Are you feeling a bit better today? Because there's nothing worse. There's like certain days where you actually just need to pack up your shit and go home and be like, fuck this. I'm done with this. I'm going to go and be, I'm trying again tomorrow. Some days are best left abandoned.
I think for a lot of people, being at home is the problem, Gord.
Yeah, well, dude, I'm completely fucking over it.
You kind of want to pack up and go.
I know everyone's over it, but it's like starting to affect me now. It's like I'm just tired of doing the same thing in the same place all the time.
Yeah, I had to, and Sian Bulelo know this. We had to have like one-on-one meetings with everyone at the office yesterday. And you know, we got a small team, but the reality is like, we had to do a massive cost-cutting exercise, and yesterday we had to look at who we actually can keep and who we can't and how much we can pay people. And it was just every single one of those meetings was just like gut-wrenching, and I fucking hated it. And I, you know, you have to tell people who've been working hard for, I mean, in the case of some of our staff, 6 years with us, you have to say to them, listen, this is the reality.
Yeah, no fault of your own, but...
Yeah, and it really pisses me off, because it is as a direct result of nothing that we've done wrong, nothing that anybody on my team has done wrong, not even, frankly, the fault of any of our clients who are struggling at the moment. Some of them are really, like, you phone them up and you say, hey, guys, you know, how about we do this work together? And they go... we can't do anything. We are frozen. We have a marketing budget that has been put on hold. Some of the people in those companies have been laid off.
Therefore
they're just not spending any money. And if they're not spending any money with us, then that means we have no revenue. It means we have to cut things. And we have shaved this fucking place down to the bone now. And it's just, I'm looking at this and it's no fun for me at all. I mean, I had a very serious conversation with Mbulelo before we had our meeting, and I said to him, like, survival for me is not an adventure. And survival for me, in terms of the financial viability of the business, is not something that I am excited to get through. It's not like, you know, for some people, they wake up in the morning and survival is kind of all they can do, you know. I'm not judging those people, but...
Most of us have been there at a certain time or another, but, you know, you always kind of want to see it as a temporary situation. It's similar with me, dude. I mean, I don't have anyone to fire other than myself, and I know fire is probably not the sensitive way to phrase that, because that's not what you would do.
Yeah, well, luckily, look, we haven't had to fire anyone, which...
We can, I mean, I would probably be retrenching Blackie Chan already. I'd be trading in the good crockery for like some shitty crockery. But like, also, quiet for me. And I've only got so quiet. I've had in 3 months, I've had maybe a third of a month's worth of income of work that I've had in. And it always tends to be tiny little bits and pieces that come in drips and drabs, always at the last second, like emergency measures. Mm-hmm. My regular clients aren't contacting me, but the senior people that run these agencies are taking salary cuts
everybody's being hit. This is the problem. The
bosses, the senior people, they like taking a third, even in some cases up to a half, somewhere between a quarter and a half salary cuts. So you can't, and I know these people. So it's like the people I work for and the people I work with are usually both friends of mine. So I see the younger guys and like, you know, some really good people, at least two that I can think of off the top of my head, have been like outright retrenched because of all of this. There's no other reason they would have been retrenched. Now they're trying to find a job. You know, if my clients don't start sticking their head up soon, I'm going to be also in a different but stressful situation where I have to take Blackie Chan and explain to her that it's not going to be Whiskers anymore. And no more tuna. We'll give you sand and bobtail.
You know what? We all go through pain of our own. Okay.
Yeah. Look, there's nothing about that situation that excites me. I know that there are probably business people in the world who get a thrill out of like, well, if we can just make it through the next couple of months, we'll be well positioned, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it's so fucking demoralizing when you have spent 6 years, and I know that our listeners, a lot of them have been there from the start as well. We've spent 6 years building this business up. We've spent 6 years trying to convince people that podcasting is a thing. The whole world is listening to podcasts now. Those numbers are sky high.
Mm-hmm.
And like, surviving is not exciting enough. I'm just not excited by it. Like, this is not enough anymore to go through another 6 years, just like the last 6 years, to have to build the business up from zero again. Not interested. You know, I'm not building it up from zero. I would sell this thing tomorrow. I'm deadly serious. Sell the whole fucking thing and just do something else.
Yeah, but it's another one of those where you are the brand. So unless you're selling.
Well, I can stop. I can go work for someone.
So what would you do? Get like a chubby girlfriend and have two children?
Or a chubby boyfriend holds up hand.
Yeah, oh, sorry. Good point. Yeah. What would you get a dog and get a picket fence and
I don't know, go into
the sunset and then I get terribly boring.
Then I get home and I want to listen to some music yesterday, and Apple has put this thing on Apple Music to say, well, they're in solidarity with Black Lives Matter, so sorry, Gareth, you can't hear our music today. I'm like, I'm not in America. As much as my heart and soul are with the people who are tired of racial prejudice and people who are sick of seeing like Black Americans being abused by cops, and I really am. Why fuck up my night? I'm in a bad mood already. Now I can't listen to music.
Yeah, it sounds like you've had a day, dude. Yeah. I mean, look.
And then all you see on social media is like everybody's just blacked out there. I mean, it's just the whole fucking day was so depressing. Like at the end, I went to sleep last night, and this hasn't happened to me for years. I promise you, years, where I went to sleep so angry that I actually thought, if I wake up and do the show tomorrow, that's great. If I don't, who gives a fuck, right? We're not making money. We're not making money anyway, so yeah. Let's
try and have a really chipper show, and we'll cheer you up, and let's let the three of us and all of your lovely listeners make it up for you, Gareth.
If I'm not having fun before 8 o'clock, which I'm sure will happen because I've got Sia and Bulelo and Gord here with me, if I'm not having fun by 8 o'clock, I will shut this shit down. I'll just go to sleep.
Make it up to Gareth Wednesday.
No, look, I understand where it all stems from, rightfully so, but I said this to you yesterday in conversation as well. You can't just nullify everything, even though right now you can't really reap all of the rewards, or it's not necessarily worth it in this moment, but you can't just wipe 6 years of ups and downs and lessons and meeting people and learning and great interviews and business encounters that have expanded all of our minds way beyond we can imagine. You can't wipe all of that out.
Want to bet? It's just happened. Do you want to bet? I mean, like yeah, the last 3 months have just done that. So
an income stream and a kind of infrastructure that you've set up, and a listenership and a brand and all the rest. I mean, like in theory, you know, cash flow is only one element of the business. The business is well established. The listeners like us. Mm-hmm. You know, until they're mean to me, I'll carry on having.
Who knows? What if we email Elon Musk today to set up podcasting on space shuttles?
Well, that's an exciting. You know, so maybe it's just time for me to do something new. Maybe it's not even COVID's fault. Maybe it's like I'm ready to do something else.
You're just having one of those moments.
No, no, no. Honestly, I've been feeling this, and lockdown gives you a lot of time to think about things, right? And this is not a threat, and I love everybody who's listened to us and made this what it is. But maybe there also has to be some realization that, do I want to be doing this exact thing that we're doing now in 5 years' time? Hell no. This is the honest answer. Yeah, absolutely not.
There's different ways to do it, though, dude. I mean, you can scale down. You can move it into a home situation so that you're doing your shows more of a sideline thing.
Yeah, we've had to, like so many other people. All right, anyway, let's just leave the whole Cliff Central thing alone, because at the moment, I could care less. I'd rather
but
talk.
But, dude, you're entitled to a day. Let me say that. Sure. You're entitled to a day or two. Shit has been hard. You're a business owner. Yeah. You're allowed to have a day or two like this. But I personally believe that how much you actually love it will shine through, and you'll get over it.
I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear two things. I don't want to hear from people who say, "Oh, like, you know, shame. I'm feeling so sorry for you," because that would drive me fucking crazy. I hate the whole victim mentality. So let's not do that. Let's not commiserate together, because that's pathetic. And let's also not. Let's not go. You just because things aren't working out for you today, because then I'll also just lose my shit.
So you don't need anyone to tell you it's going to be okay and stroke your head, and you also don't need anyone to tell you you're wrong. Mm-hmm. I know.
Okay, that's half my vocabulary.
Just like that. And moving away from that specific topic, but just to quickly segue into my life, because you know how much I hate talking about that. Like, I've been in a similar thing the last 2 or 3 weeks. I've had people who I really love and who are great people, like, messaging me, like, "Are you okay? Is everything all right?" And, like, in a sense, yes, and in a sense, no. Like, I don't want to have a long conversation convincing people that I'm fine when there's literally nothing going on. Like, figuratively and literally, there's nothing going on. There's nothing going on with me, and there's nothing going on at all. My way of interacting, and I've done like 3 podcasts on it. I've kind of paused my podcast because there's nothing to fucking talk about. Yeah. Like, I've been wanting to have guests as a part of my podcast since the idea of it. And I've had one, and we did it over Skype, and it worked fine, but it wasn't as good as a real conversation. And sitting and talking out an hour of shit about how people on the internet need to cheer up, and you become this ironically contradictory figure because you make leaving an angry or ranty communication about how people must be more cheerful on the internet. And, like, you know, without the internet, you're essentially by your fucking self. It's me, the cat, and whatever's on YouTube. And with everybody, you're just talking about COVID. You're either talking about how hectic is it all, how you're coping, oh, you're stuck at home and the kids are killing you. Well, I'm stuck at home and I'm by myself. Oh, how's work? Oh, it's fucked. I'm either fucked or I'm going to have to fire people who are going to be fucked. And it's just like, until they bring back football and Metallica can tour again, I'm not miserable, and I prefer to just be. There's fuck all going on. Like, leave me to it. I'm just gonna. But the point that I'm quickly concluding with is that it's the cheer up messages that are more the problem than actually just wanting to kind of just push everything off and be by yourself for a little while.
Who in the whole world's gone? Yeah, what I need is a cheer up message.
But I have none of that for you, Gareth.
Yeah, good. The only thing
I hope you do or don't do is the classic white girl move.
What's
of
that?
Moving to China to teach English is the one. And number two,
or Vietnam.
I don't want you getting tight pants and all of a sudden thinking going to Thailand for 6 months to do a yoga course means you've now transcended. If you can avoid those two, you and I will be okay.
Need to quote some Rumi quotes that may or may not be from Rumi.
And get an ankle bracelet. I honestly think
that there's a whole generation of basic white girls who think Rumi means like inshallah or it is done. Yeah. Like, they don't actually know. They just see like the quote on the internet, and if it says Rumi, it's like Buddha approved.
Well, let's talk about something that really matters, because Sia got to go
Atticus is a great one too. Sorry, continue, please.
Sia got to go to McDonald's for the first time this week. And if you follow him on social media, you will have seen how excited he was to.
Oh, I was there with him. Me and Sia were chatting about it.
So Sia posted this video of him actually singing to the woman at McDonald's. First of all, she hates you, Sia, because she,
I don't know.
Now, you were excited to get your Mickey D's again, which I know you like. For Sia, that's like a staple diet. He doesn't eat very much, but he knows what he likes.
He's young and beautiful. He can do what he wants.
Well, exactly. And I mean, there is no part of Sia that has ever been more than 3% body fat. So,
well, he hasn't had an opportunity to lay with me yet. I'll put his numbers right up.
God.
So Sia's horrified.
How much do you want, Sia?
He lined up at McDonald's and he was ordering from his car and he started. What did you sing to her?
Just in the moment of being inspired, I made up my own song.
What was it?
I liked it. I didn't understand it.
It was.
I haven't seen you for a long time, or like,
yeah, that Fast and Furious song. It's been a long day without you, my friend. Yeah.
But you were singing in Vanek.
Imagine this poor woman. She's like, oh, for God's sake, I just want to get this order done.
Because... Yeah, I'm back at work. It's good and it sucks.
Look, and the line was long, but I said, let's have this moment, you and I. Yeah. And she just went dead quiet.
Weren't you singing in Vanek?
I also
did I watch a different thing?
No, I also did speak to her in Vanek, but... By the time I rolled up to the window just to actually meet her face to face, she just shook her head. But I'm like, girl, we've been through a rough couple of weeks. Let's at least all just be grateful for this moment. I never honestly thought going through a drive-thru and getting fast food would make me that happy. Oh,
yeah, I saw the video and I wanted to get up and straight away go and do it. And I was like up early yesterday. So, I was kind of waiting for 7 a.m. because I thought that was what it said on your sign, like drive through 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. because the delivery people only tend to start at like 9 or 10. And I was up early. I was legitimately hungry. I didn't have any food in the house and I was like waiting for 7. And then I went and checked your video again and I was like, no, wait, I'm sure it's not 7. And it was 9 to 9. So I had to like wait, and delayed gratification is not my jaw. So when I got McDonald's, I got it and I ate it and I immediately was like, great idea. It's shit. Yes. And look, that's always the case with McDonald's. 100% of the time, the only thing that varies is how good of an idea it seems before you do it. And then sometimes it's just the best idea you've ever had. And then you eat it and it's like, this is some degree of disappointing to awful.
In ordinary circumstances, I would have even deemed this pathetic. But can I just say, I didn't drive home instantly. I actually parked in the parking lot.
Yes.
I incorporate
part of my order is like for the drive, and part of my order is for home. I almost would pack them in two separate compartments if possible. Like, I don't think a chip has made it home from McDonald's if I've been driving ever.
They have all of their greasy salt all over the dashboard now. It's disgusting.
And you and I discussed yesterday, Sia, that the chip especially, but all things from McDonald's, like they age the most badly. Like you need to eat them immediately.
You can never reheat it.
2 minute old chips are too hot to eat. Then they go at about 4 minutes or 5 minutes, they go through like a 3 minute window of being perfect. And then it's just deterioration until they become waxy. They're like the potato goes back to being raw and it like becomes waxy and gross. And it's just the worst.
Ugh.
Imagine eating day old McDonald's always. Yeah. Better than nothing, I guess.
I'm not excited about fast food coming back. I like the idea that pizza restaurants are back because I like a pizza every now and then. But all that stuff is such a temptation, especially if you've had like a day like I had yesterday. I could have easily gone to the drive-thru and just ordered something that tastes great and it feels horrible afterwards.
Yeah.
God, I didn't do that. That would have compounded my misery.
Yeah, because today you'd feel worse about it. But there is a lot to be said for like a therapeutic indulgence.
Yeah,
if you're making excuses to have a reason to go in therapy, indulge. Like, I think I might be sad, pies. But if you're like having a really difficult time and you're very sick or you're very hungover or you've had a miserable day, like there's nothing better than a big bag of bullshit. Like just the worst possible stuff for you. And you smash it in your face and you bathe in the grease. And then you go and have a cry and a wag, and then you go to sleep.
What do you think is the worst, and what do you think is the best fast food restaurant in the country? Like, I know this sounds like such an obvious question, but I honestly, you would rank them. Gord, I'm sure you've done research.
No, I mean, this is something I've given a bit of thought to.
You could write a book.
I've got different parameters to put around it, which is, what is the best shit burger? Like, you can't go and compare like a Rocco Mama's, which is kind of mid-level, moving into the craft territory, to like a McDonald's burger. You've got to compare like the fast food, the stuff you know is garbage.
Yeah.
Like McDonald's, Burger King, Wimpy if you're doing burgers there, Steers.
See, now you're a fat person, so I'm listening very carefully because you know this shit. No. I never take advice on food from someone who's thin. Like Sia, because he doesn't know. Sia thinks McDonald's is terrific. You know, Gord actually in his head has figured out like what.
I'm committed. I'm like living that life. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I'm all in. But in terms of stuff that's garbage, I think Burger King is head and shoulders better than all the others. Steers, they put on too much fucking sauce. You just can't breathe. It's like having an asthma attack to drink the fucking thing. McDonald's is just. I don't know if it's me. I don't know if it's because I've gotten older.
And some of them feel
because times have changed.
A Steers burger always feels so heavy afterwards. You feel like you've had three.
You order them without sauce. But the thing is, now that we're in the land of more often getting takeaways brought to you, at least I do. I get it brought to me a lot more often than I go out and buy it. Like, I'll get the urge and then I'll be like, cool, I got a mission to the shops. And I'll be like, nah, you know what? It's actually not worth it. But if there's like a small delivery fee, those must pull in. So, ordering Steers burgers with no sauce and then order your sauce on the side so that you can use an eighth or a 24th
sauce
of what they're
on the side?
Yeah, because then you can actually – then you don't have to drink it through a straw. Paint stripper chemical they make it out of. But for me, Burger King is head and shoulders the best garbage you get. And then like – If you want to broaden it away from burgers, you know, KFC's got the highest enjoy it at the beginning, regret it at the end ratio. I think that would be, because that shit like genuinely makes you feel like you're not well. But like it is the feeling of having sex with God the first 2 seconds you eat it, and then as soon as you're halfway through the first piece, you start realizing. So the first 50% of the first piece is like having sex with God. Then halfway through your first piece, you get a wait, what have I done moment, and by the end of it, you're like, oh Jesus, like not only am I now in an eating storm, and I've got to get through the rest of all of this, but I realize that I've done wrong. And all the emotions, and you feel like Gareth felt this morning when he first pushed play on the show. Like everything just goes to pieces. Like KFC is like the heroine of fast food.
Nope, I haven't been able to hear anything you said after you just explained having sex with God. I'm still holding on to that.
I do that for God's benefit. Like God's a person too. He has needs.
And don't tell me he doesn't get
to. He has needs, and they will be fulfilled.
All right, lots to get to this.
What are
morning.
Your favorite shit burgers? Bearing in mind, you can't go say like, you know, like the Butcher Block and Grill beats McDonald's. It's like, well, obviously it does. But what's a piece of garbage that you especially like?
I genuinely do not. I do not feel good after any. You've just described it really well. That first couple of seconds is just amazing, and then after, you know, three bites, you're like, oh my God, what am I doing?
Like sex with me. First couple of seconds, like, oh, yes.
Please put that on your Tinder profile.
Please get this in.
But you got an amazing guy.
You got to pick one, Gareth. We're getting you hangover burgers. We're picking them up on the way to your place.
No, please don't visit me. No, don't do that.
No, man. Just go with my goddamn analogy. You can pick any greasy piece of shit you want. What are you having and where from? You said a pizza, so that kind of counts.
Yeah, all right. Then I'll go with an Andicio's pizza. That's a winner.
Nice.
That's a winner. Nice thin crust with, you know.
They are good pizzas, Andicio's. They're not cheap. Like their cost to mass ratio is not great.
So I've got a problem with that because there isn't one near my house. So I have to drive. I can't order it on an app.
Then it's flawed. Yeah. Then it's so broken.
It's a flawed plan, but
you either need to move or talk to the people about it in detail.
I would get in the car for them. I would get in the car for them. That's how much I like their stuff.
And what are your go-to toppings?
No,
this is a thing that can break relationships. Pizza toppings can divide nations.
You can judge me all you like. I have a plain margarita.
Oh my God!
No, with extra chili. That's it.
Yeah,
chili. If and when you're feeling adventurous.
Yeah,
margarita is not my go-to, but it's a winner. Also, sometimes if you're very, very hungover, possibly drugs have been involved, you know that there's no way you can live. You're just getting the pizza to stay alive. Yeah. It's actually quite nice to get the one you want. And then this is fat guy. Take notes, thin people. Us fat oaks have got systems. You get the one you want. And then you also get the plain cheese one. And you actually put the plain cheese one in the fridge. And so if you're like doing a 2-day all weekend recovery, so you're starving, you've been jawling for a day and a half, now you've woken up and everything, it's game over. All you need is like forgiveness and something greasy and fatty. You get the pizza you want, but bearing in mind you're gonna be on the couch and in bed for a day or two. you've gone that big. It's after Orpikorpi, it's after the big concert, it's the next day and it's hell. Whatever you want, get a plain one, put the plain one in the fridge, and then snack on that via microwave for the next day and a half. That's how you fat it up properly with pizza, medicinal pizza.
All right, let's do some headlines. As much as I like this, we can pick it up just now.
Your two favorite things.
Well, there are so many people who are just like desperate for this stuff because they haven't had it for a long time, like Sia driving through and singing about it. So I get that this is actually important to people. And
sex.
Sex, a lot of people are going to be hungry for that.
Sex again, I'm also going to be it's going to be exactly the same thing. I'm going to be cuck enthusiastic to start off with. I'm going to eat that shit like there's no tomorrow for the first 30 to 60 seconds. And then I'm going to feel what I've got in my mouth. And I'm going to go, what on earth have I done? It's identical to the McDonald's experience.
All right.
And then still at the end, I'll go, oh, well, fuck it. I'll have more.
Some news that you might want to know this morning. It is 6:30, so let's get into it. The antitrust authorities in South Africa have charged 28 international and local banks, which now include Nedbank and Rand Merchant Bank, for manipulating the Rand exchange rate. Now, you know, I know that there are some currency motherfuckers who work in those buildings who probably earn so much money that this whole COVID thing doesn't even touch them. I know that these people are extremely valuable because they are financial geniuses, and some of them may be psychopaths as well. And that's not to say that they aren't great for their banks and they haven't made the banks a lot of money. But I think that there is something morally unconscionable about people who play with a nation's savings, because that's what you're doing when you manipulate the Rand. When you buy and sell the Rand and you move it enough spaces on the dial, that it actually affects some granny who's spent 70 years of her life saving so that she can live off those savings, and you demolish the Rand for her by one or two Rand because you need to make your bank some serious profits off of trading currencies. And if all the banks, and 28 of them have been charged with this, are doing this, then it is time, ladies and gentlemen, for us to find a new way of doing finance, because the banks do not care about you. You know, part of our discussions yesterday, there are people in this world who are being offered loans by the banks right now. Supposedly, there's a wolf in sheep's clothing. They come to you and they go, we'll give you a loan because you don't have any money at the moment. And we'll only charge you enormous interest rates to pay.
We're hashtag here to help.
Yeah, be very, very suspicious of these people.
These strange and trying times, everybody needs to stick together.
Right.
That's why at Cockbank, we're offering you 5% less on your interest rate when you double your overdraft because of being broke.
Right.
For 3 months, you'll pay less, and then you'll be back to being fucked.
These sons of bitches. So this is the latest news, is that the case against the banks for colluding to fix prices, divide markets, and rand-dollar exchange goes back as far as 2015. Last year, the banks scored what was considered a partial victory when the Competition Appeal Court ruled that the commission had to file a new charge sheet. You see, these are the technicalities that the banks, again, who employ lawyer after lawyer after lawyer after lawyer, they get off on these technicalities, and they have things moved from this court to that court and in front of this judge and not that judge. And this is not ordinary trade. You know, when I talk about capitalism, I mean someone like, let's say Mbulelo and I want to trade goods. Let's say he has a pineapple juice that I really want for breakfast, and I have 10 Rand, and he's prepared to sell it to me at 8 Rand, and I'm prepared to pay 7. But he knows he can push me up the longer he keeps me going and negotiating. He could push me up to 9. That's good old capitalism, right? There's nothing wrong with that. That is me. And I can always decide, I don't want your pineapple juice. I'm going to go and get some from someone else. Got me? That's capitalism. It's good old voluntary trade where everybody...
Don't have your pineapple juice with your pizza juice.
No. But everybody is volunteering to be a part of the situation, and everybody has the opportunity to say yes or no. In other words, no one is being forced at gunpoint to do anything. But what these guys do with the currency is just disgusting, and I want to see the banks hold over the coals. And I don't want the money that they if they win, if the good guys win against the banks, I don't want the banks to have to pay that money over to government. I want them to give it back to the people. I want to find a way where people each get out of this lawsuit, if it ends up being successful, where all of us get 10 Rand, even if it's 10 Rand. I don't care what it costs these banks. If they have been doing what they're charged with doing, they must pay.
So is this the same case that Maria Ramos had to sneak out the back door for, or is this a new case?
I'm not sure. I'd be lying to you if I said I knew.
It's wild if it's another one, because that was just 3 years ago.
And speaking of greedy fucking parasites, the king of the Zulu, King Goodwill Zwelithini, has had his budget increased because he couldn't possibly go out and earn a fucking cent on his own, despite being a king. This guy, he's asked for more money and they've given it to him. Premier of KwaZulu-Natal, Sihle Zikalala, presented his budget to the provincial legislature yesterday. And during his presentation, he announced King Goodwill Zwelithini's budget will be increased to 71 million rand annually.
So he earns about, give just a little bit over 5 bar a month.
Something like that.
Help me with maths here. 70 would be 140.
A little bit more, 6.
Yeah, so it's around, it's 72. a little over five. Yeah. So, it's a 6-ish.
I don't know how profligate your life has to be for you to be able to piss away 5 or 6 mil.
Yeah, you got a tax-free 5 bar salary.
Yeah.
It's more than 5 bar, but let's call it 5 because per ack, we're all having tough times.
Sure.
He's got a tax-free 5 bar salary for existing, and he's reckoning now he's short of money. Or is that now enough? Was 5 bar enough to get him to cheer up?
I don't know, but this guy is a parasite and a bloodsucker. And I don't see why the people of Gauteng, for example, or the people of Northern Cape should have to contribute through the national fiscus. Because ultimately the money comes from Treasury, and Treasury then gives it to the provinces. So that means even right now you're sitting there in Craddock in the Eastern Cape, and a little piece of the tax that you pay, which
goes to Goodwill.
Right, goes to Goodwill. Disgusting. If you want to get 71 million for being king of the Zulu people, then Zulu people can pay for you, you son of a bitch.
I don't care about the whole issue of which people, et cetera, et cetera.
I do,
really,
because I don't want to pay. I don't want to pay for him.
For sure, you don't want to pay for someone else's king.
How about
I got
we
it.
In the ta-
I'm just
in
saying the,
tax the
concept
form.
Of
no, no,
kings.
Hold on. Here's an idea. Yeah, because that's a whole other stupid concept. But let's say that when they come to get your taxes and you have to fill in your forms, you can tick a box that says, I willingly contribute part of my taxes to A, the Zulu king,
uh-huh.
B, to poor people who don't have houses and water. Now, everybody can fill that in on their tax form. And we'll see.
What about the Commonwealth?
What do you mean?
Because we still contribute to the Commonwealth. Please, let's not.
That should be as fucking optional at least.
Presume that's.
Do we? And how much do
I'm
we
put
sure
in there?
I'm
not sure we do, but if we do, we shouldn't.
Is
Elizabeth any less ludicrous than this? All of them are ridiculous.
Dude.
Exactly. She's I agree with Umbi completely. Totally I think it's the dumbest fucking thing. An automatic leader, usually, what do you call it? Hereditary, given power by birth. Autocracy, like none of it makes sense. You've got an inbred family. The person is leader by virtue of their parentage. Everybody pays for it whether they want to or not. We no longer actively rule the country. Like you literally a living human museum work. You know, when there's like historical works that you are a living human Anne Frank house.
You're a
you know, they do maintenance to keep you in the condition you're supposed to be in, and people can pay to come and visit and see you.
Yeah,
jeez, that's quite the comparison.
So who would fill in the form to say, yes, I would like to contribute to King Goodwill Zwelithini?
Lots of people, because people still go to church and tithe.
Not I.
Like, it's ridiculous.
We live in the fucking dark ages, bro. People are terrified of going to hell because they've been told since babies that an imaginary ghost that's a baby, an adult, an old white-haired man, and also something that makes you go, ha blah 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 when you talk, is going to throw you into a burning lake of eternal fire, which looks and feels like it's under the earth, but also might be made of the worst parts of your psyche, because if you don't believe, he won't love you, and if he doesn't love you, he burns you forever, but you must choose love.
I think
we live in the medieval times.
I think we've just gone off on a tangent.
In 500 years, they're going to discuss the shit we believed for the last 2,000 years, and kids are going to wide-eyed. It's like when we talk about putting leeches on you to cure sickness, or, you know, like the, wearing the beak for the plague. It's as ridiculous, the shit that you people believe.
And know what, Gord?
Yeah.
Most important thing to ask, though, is do you believe in love and life after love? Because I can feel something inside me say, I really don't think it's strong enough.
Do you believe in life after love? I still would bone Cher. I even, about once a year, I go and check what she's looking like at the moment, because she's in her 70s now. So I go, I Google Cher 2020. I mean, like, the Cher age index is for me. Like, you know how you've got like AD and BC and all that shit? Like, yes. Won't Gun Cher era is going to be the second era of my life. Like, when did this happen? Sure, well, it was in the Still Wood era. Like, we still, make no mistake, we're still in the Still Wood era. Look, I'm not about to, like, walk 500 miles and walk 500 more just to be the man who falls down at her door. But if Cher comes knocking, I'm like, yes, I do have somewhere for you to lie down, ma'am. Would you like some tea? So I'm still in the Still Wood era of Cher. Although I will say that it's getting there. I know that, you know, with my annual check, when I Google Cher 2021, yes, Cher 2022, one day in this decade, if we all get that far, there's going to come a, ooh, dude, I don't know moment. It's coming. Mm. It's soon. But it hasn't happened yet.
You know, and this is a while ago, and they asked God in an interview, like, how was it making the heavens and the earth and all that stuff? And God was, like, really excited to tell them the story of how he parted the darkness from the light and all of this stuff. And he said, you know, it was lonely for me in the beginning, but there was always this really old chick hanging around called Cher.
Oh.
we never really made friends. Yeah, look, I mean, I wouldn't. I think she's like a piece of biltong. Who's
really?
Oh yeah, she's
how delicious is biltong.
Come on.
Between her and Dolly Parton, and mind you, they're the same age.
That one's touch and go as well. Like, I probably wouldn't with Dolly, but I'd have a look. I'd inspect. I need to see it up close before I can make that call. But I think Dolly is possibly, but I still would. I mean, what's not to like? She's one of the greatest singers of all time. She has ginormous, impossible plastic fake boobs, and she's had surgeons keep her lacquer for fucking 70 plus years. I think that sort of thing should be rewarded. If these ladies have put in that much effort and money and hard work and whatever to still be belters when they're in their 70s, who am I to not bone them? God damn it, they deserve it. What have you done? You're 22 and sexy with perfect skin, sir. Fucking lazy is what that is. Wait till you're 70 and check if O's like me still want to bone you.
An East London medical doctor who was arrested on Thursday for allegedly selling a sick note to an undercover Hawks agent was released on 3,000 rands bail. Now, don't we all know a doctor who will write us a sick note?
I got one that will not unethically give me documentation for anything that isn't actually happening. But I got a good enough relationship with my doctor that I think if I told him, hey, dude, I just need like a day or two because I'm battling with some things. Work doesn't like you to not come in on a Monday without a doctor's note. So while I'm here, I just want to get that and I want to get my ears sorted out while I'm at it. I got to come here and get a fucking doctor's note. So he has money, give me a doctor's note. He'll write something there like, Gordon has not been well. You know, vague enough to not be a blatant lie. Yes. He's not going to say I've got fucking pancreatitis when I don't to get me off of work. But I think if you have a good enough relationship with your doctor, you can get a slightly untrue.
This doctor is 69 years old, and her name is Dr. Spokazi Sokupa. And mm-hmm. She is from East London, and she has been writing tons of fake sick notes for people. She's like the one you go to in East London if you want to get a sick note. And she's apparently they've done an undercover investigation. They found that she has written just anybody who wanted one could come and get one from her. And she was basically charging for them too.
That's exactly a different thing.
Is that hugely,
a bit of embellishment is one thing, and actually selling fake doctor's letters.
Would that be as bad as, you know, a lawyer lying to the court, for example? Because that's, you know, dismissible.
Yeah, it's a direct violation of the oath that you take.
Is it?
Which is a Hippocratic one.
I mean, I always think a sick note is something kind of half serious.
Why do you deem it half serious and not serious?
Because I always remember, like, the only time I've ever used a sick note, because who would believe me in the job I'm in now? Like, there would be no need. So the only time I've thought of a sick note is when I was at school.
Yeah.
So I didn't associate, it was like to keep the adults bickering between themselves and, to prove I really was sick. But I didn't know that lying about a sick note was a dismissible offense, or that you could be arrested by the NPA and the Hawks.
I think it's more that doctors, like, ethically and legally, can't go handing them out when it's clearly bullshit. I think, I just remember back when I was younger and I was working in magazines and I was at Media 24, and they're like a giant, massive company, even though my department was a bit more independent and didn't have to deal with all their fuckery. Like, if you were off sick or whatever on a Monday or a Friday, you had to have a doctor's letter, but any other day was fine. And I'm like, okay, cool. Well, I get that this is those people who start the weekend on a Thursday and get too loose on a Thursday night. Like, you're trying to prevent drunken fakery. But as a person who's not doing crack all weekend and then taking Monday off, like, as part of the other 90% of staff that are just living their life, why should it cost me $600 if I happen to get sick on a Monday or a Friday? And not, like, to me as a non-crackhead, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays are essentially the same. The difference in what I have to do to be sick on a different day is based on behavior of other people. So I just kind of would go – it sort of would backfire, because every now and again I'd go like, okay, well, I don't really – I've got to go and see the doctor. I don't want to bore anyone with any gross details, but I get my ears unblocked about twice a year. Even if my health is otherwise perfect, I go see my doctor about my ears once or twice a year. So I'll go, okay, well – there is a big jaw this weekend. There is my mate's 30th, 40th, bachelor's, whatever the fuck, something where we're all going to take drugs and behave like loons. I am going to feel rough on Monday. I'm going to take Monday off and make my appointment for ears, or just to go and say hi to my doctor, because as a fat bastard, you need to, like, once a year. I'm going to go see Dr. Sam at 3 p.m. on Monday and take the fucking day off, because now I'm doing exactly what they – trying to prevent, because I have to spend R600 if I don't want to go to work on Monday. Whereas Tuesday, knock yourself out. It's a bunch of bullshit. Right.
Hey guys, why did Sia keep quiet during the whole Goodwill discussions?
It is because I have a poster of the Great King in my bedroom. I bow down and praise that picture at least 5 times a day. Goodwill is the alpha and omega in my life.
Of course.
And of course, because of the money that he's sending you from the tax subsidies.
Don't embarrass Sia. He may be a proud Zulu, but he doesn't necessarily have to account for that to you.
Yeah. Because, like, what do you even do? It is beyond greedy to me. What do you even do with 5 million rands every single month?
Oh, like, trust me.
There's just no need.
First of all, you've got
how many wives does he have?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know the details, but I'm presuming
he has a pretty big family. Let's just move on. So Dr. Robin says, she's so glad that it wasn't her. That chick has been bust. That doctor has been bust so many times. She doesn't even see the people for those sick notes. They pay the secretary and they walk out with a note.
Well, people do this in the States. Like, dodgy prescriptions is a big industry. Like, sketchy doctors for painkiller prescriptions, sleeping pills, although they're so strict. Amazingly, in the States, opioids are so easy to get, but sleeping pills, impossible. You cannot fucking get them, even if your doctor wants you to have them. It's bizarre. They'll give you basically, like, synthetic varieties, sub-varieties of heroin. You got gin, vodka, beer, brandy, etc. Like, opioids is like heroin, mescaline. Here are your heroines. Pick the one you want. It's all basically like off the shelf, but you can't have a sleeping pill. Anyway, like, there's a whole industry there around doctors who write sketchy prescriptions for drug addicts. And I would imagine, like, I just don't think getting a doctor's letter from your doctor if you've been sick to get past work, if you haven't really been that sick, I don't think it would be that difficult. You just go say to the person, oh, I'm not well, I didn't go to work, please give me a letter. But if you're not even arriving and they're just like issuing you the doctor's letters, then it's like a little business and it's sketchy as fuck.
The message from Tato this morning, which is probably, like an appeal to everybody. If he cold calls you today, then pick up the phone and buy my sales. Tato's just saying, I'm doing some cold calling as part of my job, so don't be rude if you can possibly help. I always feel so sorry for people who are on, who work in a call center and have to deal with that shit. Like, one of my friends is telling me that his worst job ever was that he used to work for an insurance company and he used to have to do that. He says people are just so rude.
Nasty. And dude, I was very guilty of that. Like, I used to, I've been through phases with the cold callers in my life. Like, I used to be outraged by it and then give the person a bit of a lecture. And, you know, like, how do you know that this is not, I haven't signed up for this mailing list and you have no right to phone me and make sure my number gets deleted off the server. So I'd car any times. And then I would go through a thing of trying to make it as amusing for me and the other person as possible. So I would like have a ridiculous conversation, usually at loud volume in front of colleagues and like fuck with these guys, but in a nice way to make it go on for as long as possible so that eventually they want to get off the call with you. But nowadays I just like, I'm just very polite. I'm just like, look, man, I'm not interested.
Don't waste anyone's time.
Have a great day. I know that you know, you're just doing your job. I don't want to have this. Like, I'm not going to say yes. So have a great day and goodbye.
Yeah.
But yeah, I went through a phase of being a puss to them. And like, then you realize like how far down the list of available opportunities do you have to be, and how much is still left in that list before you start thinking about being a telesalesperson instead of doing crime? Because I do fucking crime.
I will
do crime long before I start phoning people who don't want to hear from me and trying to sell them shit. So have a bit of sympathy. Like, what would it take for you to be a how fucked would things have to be before you take a job at Outsurance's call center? Next time you take that phone call, think that.
So Vinny says, I used to drink with a guy years ago, usually on a Saturday, heavy drinking man. I thought Doc was
his... I know heavy drinking man. I've partied with heavy drinking man many times.
I thought Doc was his name, his nickname, like Dr. Kumalo. But I found out he was an actual real doctor when I went to the surgery to get lazy sick day on a Monday. All he asked is if I drank the Sunday as well and how many days I wanted. I love that guy.
Yeah, what a champ, man. Because that's it. There's a whole issue. It's like I was telling when I went off on a waffle about my own story. Like, you know,
I don't have a relationship with my doctor that's around being sketchy, but I have a good enough relationship with my doctor that, I mean, if I tell him I'm not well, he'll believe me. So the point I'm making is that, like, what did they call it there? Something Monday? Takeoff Monday?
Well, if you've been drinking on the Sunday,
you called it on your script, Gareth?
Yeah, a lazy sick day on a Monday.
Lazy sick day. Yeah, I think that companies that insist on that on a Monday and Friday have fucked themselves in that now. I think more people go for these exact same notes as a result of that dumb rule.
All right, do you want to get back to the headlines, because we kind of lost our way there?
Oh, I do. Oh, I badly, right. Badly do.
We last spoke about the doctor. Yes.
Google are in a class action lawsuit for tracking you in private mode. So apparently,
sons of asshole fuck.
Yeah. So the guys at Google have been lying to you. Surprise, surprise. They are being sued for $5 billion by a class action of people. That means a bunch of ordinary citizens who got together and decided to rather create one case against Google altogether than separately go after them. So apparently, and if you've ever used Google, you can use like a private search.
Dude, I am in that ecosystem. Excuse me. I'm deeply embedded in the. I'm a Google Oak. Everything is Google on all my devices and cloud and shared drive and all that shit. So I'm in their web.
So apparently millions of Google users who... Something happened to my microphone. Hang on.
Oh. Okay. Technicalities.
Oh, there we go. It's just there was something wrong there. Many internet users assume their search history isn't being tracked when they view in private mode, but Google says that is not the case. So millions of Google users who, since the 1st of June 2016, have browsed the internet in private mode.
Incognito tabs, man. Correct. Like, you could ruin me with that shit.
So they've been online, just like Gord or like me or like you, and they are now going to file the claim in federal court in San Jose, California. Incognito mode within Google's Chrome browser gives the users the choice to search the internet without their activity being saved to the browser or the device. But the websites visited can use such tools to track usage. Now, vigorously denying the claims, Google spokesman Jose Castaneda said, "As we clearly state, each time you open a new incognito tab, websites might be able to collect information about your browsing activity." So basically, there's fuckery afoot from Google. Surprise, surprise.
It is a shock. I'm greatly shocked. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when Incognito tab, when I first got told about incognito browsing and by a friend of mine who's one of those, I'm cool on the internet, so therefore I stick tape over my video camera and all of that. I'm like, yeah, you know, like one of those that's errs on the side of worrying about the conspiracies. But he showed me incognito browsing and told me when I'm downloading illegal stuff or if I'm using any sort of porn or if I'm doing banking, whatever, I must always use incognito mode because it does. And it would say there when you would switch into incognito mode, like you have gone incognito. This means that your search history is not being tracked. However, you are still available to, you can still be seen by employers, network administrators, and one or two other things. So it's like,
outrageous.
Basically it was telling you if you're at work, they can still see what you're doing. Now those little warning messages started to go away. But the thing with this is that they change the terms and conditions, but they don't tell you.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to.
Well, because whoever reads those, well, you know, those opening
this
pages.
This is why I haven't done the fucking audio version of my little show, is that like I wanted to start with Spotify. And I said to myself, no, if I'm going to post this content on Spotify for artists, I'm going to read the terms and conditions. So when it came up, I was like, fuck it, this might take me an hour, but I'm going to read it. Mm-hmm. After about 45 minutes, without exaggeration, after about half an hour to 45 minutes, I was maybe a fifth of the way down the slider. Mm-hmm. So I copy-pasted what I had read so far into Microsoft Word, and at 12-point Times New Roman, it came up as about 5 pages. And that was maybe a quarter. So there's 20-odd full pages of text in there. And when they change something, they make an alteration to the terms and conditions, you know, chapter 7, paragraph 4, sub-point 5 has changed, and they expect people to, well, they know people won't, but the theory is they expect you to reread the terms and conditions mm-hmm. once a year or every time there's been an update so that you can go and find a change in there if there is one. And they know that, like, these documents technically are legally binding, but they make them so fucking unbearable that nobody reads them.
And it's they know we don't.
It's like they're contracts for the sake of keeping their hands clean, but they're set up in such a way that they know, like, literally one in a million people is going to read that shit. So they can change what they want and don't have to tell you. Facebook also have a thing, and it's a few, some random inboxed me, but it was super helpful actually. Like, there's a way to go into your Facebook settings. It's about 3 or 4 click process where they're tracking, there's a setting that they've added and then switched to on, and you have to manually go turn it off, yeah. Which is called track outside browsing.
Yeah, I've done that.
That's right. Facebook tracks what you're doing when you're not in Facebook.
Now, I know this is also part of this conspiracy stuff, and Vincent says, guys, make the move and go to DuckDuckGo. But I've tried DuckDuckGo. Yeah, it's a search engine, and you use that instead of Google, and they don't track you at all, and it doesn't restrict your searches to what Google wants you to see. Because, you know, Google are paid to if you happen to, by mistake, type in the word insurance, then it comes up.
Oh, yeah, dude. I mean, I work on the other side of that all the time. Like, I sit with these SEO experts. And I don't want to say that they're all morons and I'm all clever and they're dumb and, you know, there's dinosaurs everywhere. But, no, it's not all of them, because some of these guys are really geniuses. And there is an art to SEO, and SEO is important. You do need to be a person that competes well for that insurance, for argument's sake, keyword. But for a lot of companies, it's like – they think they're very, very good at their job if they throw the kitchen sink at this. And some companies also think, like, you know, certain banks, I won't say which because I've worked with them and whatever, like the one bank takes extreme pride in having earned by being there for ages, having their URL, thisbank.com or .co.za active for so long, and the money that they pay programmatically, they're the first people that come up when you Google bank in SA. But like everything else about their digital offering is shit. They got the worst internet banking ever. So a lot of people put a lot of stock in SEO and Google ranking, but
SEO,
then their content
just so that people who are not in that world know, search engine optimization.
Yeah, it's like when you open a website and it'll be like, welcome to the Gareth Cliff podcast, a podcast for people who like podcasts featuring Gareth Cliff, formerly of the Gareth Cliff Show, where Gareth Cliff and local South African radio personality Gareth Cliff has a podcast where he podcasts about being Gareth Cliff. You'll notice copy like that in a lot of websites where it like says the word investment 4 times in every sentence. They're trying to make themselves come up higher up in the list when you Google something.
Mm.
It's boring and it sucks.
Douchebags. Anyway, but the fact is, they might be doing all of this stuff. and Google's keeping all of your private information, and that they're sharing it with advertisers. And DuckDuckGo is just an alternative search engine. In fact, here's a real expert, because this person is going super technical, but anonymous, saying use Firefox as a browser and DuckDuckGo as your default search engine, plus a VPN of your choice. That will drastically increase your privacy.
And I definitely want to get a VPN. Because I've got one called Tunnel Bear, which I can turn on temporarily, and I get a certain amount of free traffic.
Tunnel Bear.
So Tunnel Bear is cool. You should go check it out. Just I want to confirm that that's because you could accidentally come up with the wrong thing.
Isn't Tunnel Bear, Tunnel Bear? I think Tunnel Bear is your nickname on those dating sites, isn't it?
I go by Second Bank. I go by Second
Bank. Fans only. It's his profile.
I go by Sex Tank, but Tunnel Bear would actually be a close. Anyway, Tunnel Bear is, you can download Tunnel Bear. It's not gay or porn.
Tunnel Bear. And
it lets you buy a certain, basically you get half a gig of free VPN, and it's very good. So those people who want a VPN so you can do little things now and then, Tunnel Bear is good. But to the point of your expert, my thing is this, it's already invasive. It's already voluntary free services that you're choosing to use as a consumer. It's not like the government's doing this to you. You don't have to have Facebook. My best is the assholes that copy paste that. By copy pasting this, I do not give Facebook to access permission to my personal photos. It's like, first of all, that's not how permissions on Facebook work. And if you, and I mean, dude, I say this, I want to say, if you're enough of a cretin that you believe that when you see it and you repost it, but like people I know to be very smart in real life, like, and mega successful. My boss's boss from previous jobs post that shit on Facebook. And you're like, Jesus, like, at what point did you go from being one of the most successful business people in your industry, but having absolutely no clue about how online works? So people who go on Facebook, like I do sometimes, and complain about how Facebook is on Facebook, it's like, mate, you don't actually have to be here. So I know a lot of people say, oh, it's not about the content. It's not about your own privacy. It's about society. It's about principles. It's about your right to privacy. I get all of that. I just don't give a fuck. I don't do anything online that I'm concerned can utterly fucking shatter, like, can put me in jail. You know, if you were to stumble across my porn browsing history, it'd probably be a little embarrassing for me to know that everyone knows that information.
But I wouldn't have to
change my fucking name and move to another country. Like, put it this way, there's nothing you'd find there that's more outrageous than what you'll hear on the show after 3 years of listening to me do it, you know, 3.5 out of 5 times a week, every week. So, you know, I get it. It's like, if you are up to really sketchy shit, there's 3 ways you can do it. You can set up, use Firefox, use the Safari if you want to suffer needlessly, use different browsers. So in other words, don't use the Facebook and don't use Google. Another way is to set up a completely unlinked fake presence for yourself. Open a Gmail address that isn't linked to your real name. You know, build your Facebook and your Instagram profiles and whatever that don't nowhere have your real name in it. Don't use that identity for online shopping or anything like that. And do your chat rooms, your conspiracy fucking forums, your whatever sketchy shit you're watching for porn that you don't think the world like will forgive you for. You either need to put in the effort yourself to become like a off the grid person, or don't use it, or just use it, but understand it belongs to someone else and you do so on their terms.
Or you can teach English in China.
Get a tattoo of a feather down your forearm.
These are the options. That's what's out there.
These all just seem like such personal attacks.
There's always a Rumi quote.
Oh, they're the worst.
Or etiquette.
Like, how bad was Greg when he dumped you? You got to move halfway around the country and live in a communist country. Wild scenes.
Can you believe we have one last story to get through?
Thank God we're done.
Are we done? Okay. Jesus.
Makes note to be enthusiastic and get up early on a Wednesday.
That was a hell of a Tunnel Bear.
Dude, Tunnel Bear is a good piece of software. I'm not even kidding. Those of you who want to occasionally go do something sketchy on the internet, or even just be private for a short period of time, or even just access a piece of foreign
Tunnel
content.
Tunnel Bear is my favorite thing about the show this morning. I mean,
how angry.
No, because it's Gord's. I'm telling you, it's Gord's username on dating sites.
On family.
Hi, everybody.
I'm Tunnel Bear.
It is, now that I think about it, a fucking seriously, like,
a good name.
Innuendo-laden name. Yeah, because good. Also, like, for those people who are not as worldly, or maybe just aren't interested, or maybe just aren't a bit gay, like, bears are a specific sub-variety of gay men. And I am... I am extremely... Like,
are you a
I'm,
bear?
I'm,
or are you, are you...
When I was still dating She Who Shall Not Be Named, and we went overseas and stuff, like, I love a gay jaw, dude. It just is a thing. I always have. And, like, every girl I've ever dated sees how well I get on with gay oaks on the jaw and says to me, like, you know, I would swear you were maybe one of them. I'm like, nope, I just enjoy their jaws. So I get along well. I like a gay jaw. And my ex, even though that whole thing didn't work out, she didn't mind a gay jaw either. So we make a point of going to gay parties and partying with the gay people. And, like, it's really a whole lot of fun. And the one bar in particular we went to was, like, literally a bear bar. It was called Bears. It was in the gay part of Barcelona, Sieges. And, like, all the guys there are bears. So bears in gay culture are, like, hairy, usually slightly overweight, or even a lot overweight. They're hairy, fat guys with beards, but they're cuddly and – I don't know. There's like a sub genre, a sub fetish.
So, like,
if I got the right beard, if I got like the Stallone in Cobra beard, I could immediately just be a bear. I could, like, arrive at a bear place to say, hey, I'm a bear. I want to work here at Bears. And they'd be like, right, you need a correct beard.
Is there a place called Bears?
In Sieges, yeah. So, Tunnel Bear is funny because bears are furry, chunky gay men, and tunneling is something furry, chunky gay men are quite keen on.
All righty.
The people that Tunnel Bear, which is a great piece of software that I still think everyone should download and install for free. The people at Tunnel Bear either have no sense of humor at all, or a fucking excellent sense of humor.
It's in between.
Somewhere between a 1 and a 10. I mean, they're nowhere between 1 and 10.
All right, we'll be back with a little more in the next hour. Cliffcentral.com. We've made it to Wednesday, everybody. 3rd of June.
Cliffcentral.com.